Morning. Today's daf is Zvachim Daf Tzadi Hey. We left off at the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Tzadi Da'alud Amud Beis. We are going to be discussing again on the topic of kibbutz begadim that's required if blood of the chatas spatters on the beged. We had said that the kibbutz has to be done b'makom kadosh. That's really what we ended off with yesterday. We saw that the kibbutz has to be done b'makom kadosh and the shviras kli. If the chatas meat is cooked in a klicheres, has to be in the makom kadosh, and the mariko shtifa. If the rinsing and the purging of the klina choshes that the meat of the chatas was cooked in also has to be done in the kodesh and the azara. Today we're going to talk about in the Mishnah what happens if the beged or the kli, for that matter, was brought outside of the azara. What's the procedure then? What does one do? Does one bring it into the Azara? So the answer is yes. The question is, what happens if it becomes Tameh when it's outside the Azara? So on the one hand, you have the obligation to bring the Beged into the Azara to do the Kibbutz. On the other hand, there's an Isser to bring something that's Tameh into the Azara. So what does one do in order to sort of reconcile these two competing Halachos? And then we'll talk more again about what one has to do to take the tumah away and permit the item to be brought into the azara, and then the next Mishnah, which is on Tzadi Amabez, is going to focus more on the concept of mariko shtifa. We're going to talk about the situations in which the pot is going to require mariko shtifa. Is it only when the chatas meat is cooked in it? Is it possible that if you cook the chatas meat and its broth in another pot and then pour directly from that pot into a second pot, that the second pot would require mariko shtifa, which is nogea to the halacha, obviously, on Hilcha Shabbos of Irui Kli Rishon? So we're going to talk about all of that. So says the Mishnah as follows. So beged sheyatza chutz leklaim. If you have a beged that requires kibbutz, the beged was brought out of the azara. So nichnas, so you have to bring it into the azara. Umechapso b'makom kadosh, because and then you wash it in the makom kadosh, because as we saw yesterday, at the end of the shiur, the kibbutz is required to be done in a makom kadosh. The kibbutz is required to be done in the azara. Now, what happens if nitma chutz leklaim? If it became tameh at the time that it was outside the Azara. So you brought the beged outside the Azara and it became Tameh. Now what do you do? So now you're stuck. Again, you can't bring the beged in its current state back into the Azara because you're not allowed to bring Tumah into the Azara. But on the flip side, you have to bring the beged into the Azara because that's the place where you need to wash the beged. So what do? So says the Mishnah, here's the Eitzah, Sakaro, so you have to tear it. Nichnas, you enter the Azara, umechapso b'makom kadosh, and then you do the kibbutz in a makom kadosh. And Rashi says, Karo, Rashi on the Mishnah, about halfway down, the Rashi's on the Mishnah says, Karo, if you rip it, vitar mituma, and then it becomes tar from its tuma, umutar lachniso, and then it's mutter to be brought into the Azara, v'nichlas, umechapso b'makom kadosh, and then you can actually enter the makom kadosh, and you could be wash the beged there in the Azara. So we're searching for a way to get rid of the tumah. That's what we're trying to do, obviously. And we suggest that you rip it, and therefore it doesn't have the shame beged anymore. So the Rishonim are bothered. I have an idea. There's a concept called a mikvah. The mikvah is metayer. So why do you have to rip the beged? Just dip it into the mikvah, and then you can bring it into the azara once you were metayer it. So the Rishonim give what's probably the obvious answer is that if you dip it into the mikvah, you're dipping it into water, and that's going to take the blood out of the beged. We're going to see there's a procedure for the specific way in which you have to do the kibbutz. The kibbutz, and also the kibbutz has to be done in the azara. So you can't dip it in the mikvah, because if you dip it in the mikvah, that's going to get rid of the stain. You got to get rid of the stain in the azara. So we need a search for another way, not a mikvah, in order to resolve the tumah. And we do that by removing the shame beged, by actually ripping it and then bringing it into the azara. And similarly, klecheres sheyatza chutz leklam, if you cook chatas meat in a klecheres, and then the klecheres is brought outside of the azara, so nichnas v'shovro b'makam kadosh. So the din by klecheres is that it requires shvira. The shvira has got to be done in the azara. So simple, just bring it in and do the shvira in the azara. Nitma chutz leklam, what if it became tamei outside? It's the same issue. So you need to bring it in to do the shvira, but you can't bring it in because it's tamei, so we have to find a way to get rid of the tumah. So what do? Nokvo, you puncture a hole in it, v'nichnas v'shovro b'makam kadosh, and then you enter the azara, and you break it b'makam kadosh. And as Rashi points out, nokvo is letaro mitamaso. The reason that you are nokev, the kli, is to be metair it from its tumah. So klei nechosha sheyatza chutz l'klam. And finally, really, the same halacha is legabe a klei nechosha that was brought outside the azara. Nichna sumorko v'shotfo b'makam kadosh. You have to bring it back into the azara. You have to do the marika and shtifa, which is required by a klei nechosha in a makam kadosh. Nitma chutz l'klam. What happened if it becomes tamei when it's outside of the azara? So pochso. So you have to breach the kli. And pochso means the kli matechas einotor benekev koldu ela benekev gadol. Rashi says that unlike a klecheres, which becomes tahar because it removes the status of the kli if you puncture it even with a small hole, a kli matechas, a small hole is not going to be enough to remove the shame kli. Therefore, by a klei matechas, what you need to do is you have to make a larger hole if you want to be metired, and that's why we use the lashon instead of nokva, we use the lashon of pokso, which has the connotation that you're actually breaching the kli by creating a larger hole. V'nichnas umarko v'shotfo b'makam kadosh, and then once you've removed the shame kli, once you were metired from its tumah, then you bring it into the azara and you do the marika and the shtifa b'makam kadosh in the azara. So says the Gemara, so the first thing that we learned about was the beged, that if the beged became tummy when it was outside, you have to rip it, then you have to bring it back in and do the kibbuz. Frek the Gemara, maskev l'ravina karo, how can you suggest that you have to do kriya on the beged? I beged amarachmana v'lav beged hu, that the pasuk says that you have to do the kibbuz on a beged, that it has to have, as Rashi says, shame beged alav, and the point is when you're ripping it, you're making it not a beged, and then you're bringing it in and doing the kibbuz. But you can't make it not a beged because it's got to be a beged at the time that you do the kibbuz. So says the Gemara, the Meshayer Bey Kedei Mo Faras, that you leave enough unripped portion of the beged that would be large enough to use as a handkerchief. And what does this mean? So Rashi explains. It's the first skinny line here. The Meshayer Bey Shelo Yavdil Esaker Al Pnei Kulo L'Chalok Es HaBeged L'Shnayim. Don't rip the beged clear in two, because otherwise you're right. Then you're going to remove the shame beged. Ela Meshayer Bo Kedei Rochav Sudar. You have to leave an unripped portion that's at least as big as a handkerchief to Tomaso Tar. That Legabe in Yintuma, it's going to be Tar Hol V'Nikra Rubo, because most of it was torn. V'Kevan Sheshayer Bo Kedei Mofares Roy L'Chabro Ushmo Alav U'Beged Karina Lei. Ah, so Rashi says that if you rip it most of the way and you're leaving over only enough unripped portion that is large enough to be used as a handkerchief, it's an interesting hybrid status. On the one hand, the tumah goes away because most of it was ripped. On the other hand, the tumah went away even though it still retains a shame beged. Why does it retain a shame beged? Because it loses a chiddush, it loses its shame beged only when it's entirely ripped. And since this is not entirely ripped, the tumah departs. The Shem Beged, still there. Great. Now bring it into the Azara and do the Kibbutz. So says the Gemara, Aini, but is that really true? V'yamar Avuna, Loshna, Ela, Sheloshir Ba Kedemo Fares, Avol Shir Ba Kedemo Fares, Chibur Have. But if you leave over the Kedemo Fares, if you leave over enough unripped portion of the Beged that's large enough to be used as a handkerchief, Chibur Have, and what is still considered attached? And Rashi points out, what happens if it's still considered attached? If it's still considered attached, then it still retains its tumah. We're trying to figure out a way to get rid of the tumah status while still maintaining the Shem Beged. But what we learned just now is that if it's considered attached, then you haven't even gotten rid of its tumah status by ripping it like that. So you've accomplished nothing, in other words. So says the Gemara, midrabanan hu. Now, that's only tumah. That's only tuma midrabanan. And Rashi points out, gzeira dilma asa lemikra ruba ela midaraisa tahora. It's a gzeira that you have to rip up until there's only a shirma ofares left, because otherwise we're afraid that you're not even going to rip rove. However, on a daraisa level, the tuma goes away once you rip rove, but it doesn't lose its beged status until you've ripped so much that there's not even the shir mo'afares left over. And as Rashi says, midaraisa tahora mutar lachlisa misham kibus. However, midaraisa it's tar, and therefore you're allowed to bring it into the azara at that point for the kibus that is required. It says the Gemara now, top line, sadihayim at aleph, klechera sheyatza. So says the Gemara, kli amarachmana, that it's got to be a kli, velav klihu. So in other words, what we had said in the Mishnah was that if the klecheres requires shvira, because the chatas was cooked in it, you brought it outside the azara, then it became tameh. So we need to do something to get rid of the tumma in order to permit you to bring it into the azara. So he suggested nokvo, so make a small hole. That removes the tumma. Now you're allowed to bring it into the azara. You're allowed to do the shvira. Says the Gemara, kliyam arachman of alav kleyu. The problem is, if you are nokev the kli, if you puncture the kli, even with a small hole, then it loses its status of a kli, and then what you're breaking in the azara is not considered a kli, so you've accomplished nothing. Says the Gemara, shenikev b'shorash kata. No, we're talking about a situation where you punctured it with a puncture that was the size of a very small root. And what does this accomplish? So this accomplishes that it's a nekev that will permit mashke to come out of it. In other words, that mashke, if it's filled with liquid, the liquid will be able to drip out of it. And the Shita Mekubetzes points out that we never see, whenever we talk about being Matara Kli from a status of Tumah or changing the status of a Kli, we never find an actual shear of Shoresh Katan. And the Shita points out that's because Shoresh Katan is the shear of that it allows liquid to seep out. The Tzon Kachim has another Girsa that it's a Nekev, that it's a hole that will permit liquid to come into the Kli. If the kli is submerged in liquid, which is a slightly larger hole than the size of the hole that would allow liquid to seep out. But again, what the Gemara is saying is that you're doing something to the kli that's enough to get rid of the tumma, but not quite enough to make it lose its status of a kli. So it still retains the status of a kli, but the tumma's gone. Therefore, you're allowed to bring it back into the azara. So says the Gemara, Klei Nechoshes Poch. So by Klei Nechoshes, what we had said was, it came out of the azara, then it became tame. What do you do? So you have to breach it. You have to make a larger hole. Now it loses its tumma, still has the status of a kli. You're going to bring it into the azara, and you are going to do the marika shtifa there. Says the Gemara, Valav kliyu, when you breach it, when you make a big hole in it, it's not considered a kli, and we require marika and shtifa on a kli. Says the Gemara, deratzif martzif, that what you do is you hammer the broken part after you did it. So in other words, basically you make a hole, now you've damaged it, so you got rid of its tumma, but now the problem is it's also not considered a kli, so you hammer it together again, so now the tumma remains departed. However, according to this sheet in the Gemara, the tumma remains departed, but it now regains its status of a, but it regains its status as a kli. So it says the Gemara that Amar Reish Lakesh, that Me'il Shanitma, if you have the Me'il of the Kohen Gadol that became Tamei, and it was also dirty with the Dam Chata. So in other words, Rashi points out that you have the Me'il that the Kohen Gadol wears. It was brought out of the Azara for whatever reason. You have the mill that the Kohen Gadol wears. Blood of the Chatas got on it. Then for whatever reason, it's brought out of the Azara. So now, what do? So it says, Machniso b'pachos meshalosh shalosh umechabso. That you bring it into the Azara. You sort of sneak it into the Azara piece by piece in shiurim of three etzbos or smaller. And you have to launder it in the Azara, Mishum Shenemar Lo Yikareya, because by the Me'il, it says Lo Yikareya. So the Mishnah told us that if blood gets on the Beged and then it's removed, and you need to bring it back, but you can't bring it back because it became Tameh, so you rip it, and then you bring it back because that's the way you got rid of the Tumah. So what do you do by the Me'il? If the blood got on the Me'il, it was taken out of the Azara, then it became Tameh, you can't rip it because the Torah tells me there's an Isra Losa say to rip it, but we need to figure out a way to get rid of the Tumah. So I can't rip it. I can't dip it in the mikvah because I have to be mechabes it in the azara. So what do I do? So the Gemara effectively is telling me that I'm stuck. So what I should do is I should bring it in to the azara in a way that it's going to be less than the sheer tumah at each instant going into the azara. And Rashi points out it's pachos meshala shalosh. And Rashi says it's about halfway down. She'eno machnis shir beget tameh lazara. The 3x3 at bo shir is the shir of a beget tameh. So you're bringing in less than the shir of a beget tameh into the azara. Lefisha yefshar lekaro lachnisa mishum shenemar lo yikareya. Because otherwise I'm stuck. So now I have to do this funny way of bringing it in less pachos mekashir basically at a time. Mosiv Ravada Barahava. So Ravada Barahava asks a question. Ha'avin, if you have thick begadim, va'arachin, and you have, or if soft begadim, ein b'em yishum shalosh al shalosh, that they have no shear of shalosh al shalosh. In other words, the operative shear, in order for them to qualify as a beged, is not 3x3 etzbos, but rather the shear should be 3x3 tfachim. So it's an even larger shear. And Rashi points out the reason that the shear is larger because 3x3 etzbos is the shear tumah by a beged. However, by a piece of cloth, which is not really fit for levisha, as Rashi says, because if you have a very thick piece of cloth that's not very comfortable to wear, if you have a cloth that's too soft, it's not that it just drapes over you, it's not really like clothing, so the shear is not going to be the standard shear of shalosh al shalosh. But Rashi points out, rather it's going to be shlosha al shlosha. It's a larger shear of 3 tvachim that is permitted. And now Rashi points out, why are we even mentioning this? We're mentioning it because u'me'il avhu, and the me'il was thick. Kedekai melam b'seder yoma, choten kafal shnei masar v'afilu shalosh al shalosh yachnes. So the point is, if the me'il was thick, and we know that the shear of 3x3 as bows only applies to a regular beged, but by a thick beged, you're allowed to bring in 3x3 tfachim. So why do we say that you should sneak the me'il into the azara in 3x3 as bows shiurim, bring it into the azara, pachos may 3x3 tfachim shiurim? So says the Gemara, agav aviyem chashiv. Ah, so usually when you have a hard piece of cloth, or a soft piece of cloth that's standing alone, well, then the shear is 3x3 tvachim because it's obviously not roy l'levisha. What do we know about the me'il? The me'il was one of the big day kohen gadol. And obviously the me'il was roy l'levisha. So in other words, yes, usually a hard beged or a thick beged or a thick cloth is not going to have the shear gimel by gimel etzbos because it's not considered a beged. But over here, the me'il, it is a beged. So of course it's considered a beged. And therefore, the shear of the beged is going to be the operative shear. The shear being 3x3 etzbos, not 3x3 tvachim. So says the Gemara, let me ask you a much more basic question. We had said that already in yesterday's Gemara, that the kibbutz has to be done in the Azara. The question is fundamentally, how do you do the kibbutz in the Azara? Because the kibbutz is done with seven different types of detergents, one of which was not permitted to be brought into the Azara. So what in the world are we even talking about that you do the kibbutz in the Azara? So says the Gemara, Vaboy Shiva Samamanim. But in order to do kibbutz, it requires Shiva Samamanim, and Rashi points out the Dam Chatas requires the seven detergents, Hashnuyim and Mesechas Nida, which are mentioned in Mesechas Nida, Le'inyan Kesamim, that Legabe Kesamim, where we talk about the process for getting rid of a Kesem, if you have a stain of blood of a Nida, that's on a Beged, we say, Rok Tafel, it's got to be saliva, Umei Raglayim, and it has to be urine, Vanessa, Roboris, Va'ol, Va'kamina, Va'ashleg, Ve'echi Mailina, Mei Raglayim, La'azara, Va'mastisin Parech. And we're asking on the Mishnah. The Mishnah's assumption is that you got to do it in the Azara, and what do you do if it became Tameh outside? How do I rectify it to be brought into the Azara? The question is, how is this entire process able to be done in the Azara? One of the Samamanim is Meiraglayim, and you're not allowed to bring Meiraglayim into the Azara. So how do you wash it there? Says the Gemara, Diyamar Rav Nachman, Amar Rava Baravua, Damchatas, Umaris Negaim, Tzricha Shiva Samamanim, that the Damchatas and Amaris Negaim require seven Samamanim, Vitanya, Elisha Emachnisa, Meiraglayim, La Mikdash, that you don't bring Meiraglayim into the Mikdash. So what do we do? It requires Shiva Samamanim, but I'm not allowed to bring Meiraglayim, which is one of the detergents, into the Mikdash. So what happens? So flipping over to Tzati Heyama Beis, so says the Gemara, V'chi Tema Demavlalu Bahade Shiva Samamanim, if you want to say, oh, so not a problem, the only issur of bringing Meiraglayim into the Mikdash is to bring Meiraglayim standing alone into the Mikdash. She does mix it in with one of the other seven, with one of the other six detergents, and umaverlu lukulu kachad. So why don't we make a mixture? Let's be like an alchemist. We'll make a mixture of all of the seven samamanim, mix them all together, and then apply them to the beged. So that's not a problem, because the only problem is to bring Meiraglayim alone into the Azara. You're not bringing Meiraglayim alone because you've mixed together all of the detergents. Says the Gemara, Vatnan Eviran Shaloka Sidran. What we had said was that if you clean the beged with the seven detergents, but it's not in the seder that Rashi brought down from the Gemara Maseches Nida, or if you mix them together and just launder the beged at one time with all of these seven samamanim, then it's totally ineffective. So you can't tell me that I'm supposed to mix everything together, because I can't mix everything together. So if you want to say, maybe I should just mix the meiraglayim, not with all of the samamanim, don't make a big mush of all of the samamanim, just mix Meiraglayim with one of the other ones. Again, because the issur is to bring Meiraglayim alone into the Azara. You're going to be bringing this Meiraglayim mixed with something else, and that's going to be fine. But says the Gemara, that I'm also not allowed to do, because Vatzarech Lechasches Shalosh Pa'amim Bechol Echad Ve'echad. Because the procedure for cleaning it is that you have to scrub it three times with each of these samamanim individually. So we can't mix the meiraglayim with anything else. So says the Gemara, Tnan, Ela demavlele barok tafel. What you do is you mix the meiraglayim with rok tafel. Rok tafel is one of the detergents. It's tasteless saliva. And in fact, the Amar Reish Lakish, because Reish Lakish says, rok tafel tzorech sheyehe im kol echad ve'echad. In fact, it's not a problem, because there are seven samamanim, but what you do is you use rok tafel alone, and then you use rok tafel with each of the other six samamanim, because rok tafel has to be mixed in with each of the other, with each of the other samamanim, and therefore, it's not a problem of bringing meiraglayim into the Azara, because the only problem of bringing meiraglayim into the Azara is when you bring it in alone. You're not bringing it alone. What are you mixing it with? I thought you're not allowed to mix. No, you have to mix each of these six samamanim, besides rok tafel, have to be mixed with rok tafel. So you're doing the kvisa the way it's supposed to be done, but you're also not bringing in plain meiraglayim into the Azara. The Rambam, for whatever reason, paskins against our Gemara, he says that you're not allowed to bring meiraglayim into the Azara, even if it's mixed together with rok tafel, which is against our Gemara, strangely or interestingly, because our Gemara says clearly that you're allowed to bring meiraglayim into the Azara if it is mixed with rok tafel. So that's the procedure for doing kibbutz. You have to do it in the Azara. If it becomes tummy outside, you have to get rid of the tumma while still maintaining the shame kli. Why could the kibbutz be done in the Azara? It is meiraglayim. It's mixed together with rok tafel. Not a problem. All right, so that was the last mission. Now let's go on to the next mission. Now we're going to talk about Marika Ushtifa a little bit. So says the Gemara, Echad Shebishalbo, both the kli that the chatas meat was cooked in, the Echad She'iru Latocha Roteach, or a kli in which the hot broth of the chatas was poured into. So in other words, if you cook the chatas in a kli, and the chatas has the broth, and then you pour from that boiling pot into another pot, the second pot that you're pouring the mechatas broth into is going to require marika ushtifa. Says the Gemara, Echad kachay akachim, both kachay kachim, ve'echad kachay kalim, and also kachim kalim, to'unim marika shtifa, they all require marika shtifa. Reb Shimon Omer, Reb Shimon says, kachim kalim ain't to'unim marika shtifa. Reb Shimon says that kachim kalim do not require marika shtifa. Rashi points out that even though Reb Shimon Shita is that kachim kalim don't require marika shtifa, he certainly agrees that they require a hagala, that they require a rinsing. And we're going to see in the coming days what exactly marika shtifa is and how that differs from hagala. It appears that marika shtifa is sort of like a back-to-back, like there were two rinsings, one maybe with hot water, one with cold water. So we'll see that in the coming days. But the point is that Rav Shimon says this marika shtifa, whatever it means, let's leave it to the side for now. Marika shtifa is only by kachay kachim, not by kachim kalim. But Rashi points out he agrees that you need agala. Why do you need agala? Because again, the purpose of marika shtifa by all karbanos is because if you have a pot that the karban was cooked in, the karban is going to become nosar after the zman achila. So we have to make sure that the blios of nosar are removed from the pot. So even though you may not need to do marika shtifa, you need to do some sort of agala to make sure that there are no blios of nosar left in the pot. So says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Asher Tevushal Bo. It says that if the kli was used to cook the chatas meat, then it requires marika shtifa. It says Asher Tevushal Bo, that the meat was cooked in it. Ainli Ela Shebishal Bo. I only know that this is the halacha if the meat was cooked in it. Irulatocha rotach minayin, if you poured from the pot that the chatas was cooked in, you poured the chatas broth into a second kli, how do I know that the second kli is going to require marika shtifa? Tamalomar vasher tevushal bo yishaver. It says vasher tevushal bo. Not only does it include meat that the pot was cooked in, but it also includes meat that it also includes the pot that the hot broth was poured into. Says Rashi, how do I know that it means that? All it says is Asher Tevushal Bo Yishaver, and Rashi points out Mi Desamech Yishaver Eitzel Bo. It says Asher Tevushal Bo Yishaver. Veloksev imbekli cheres tevushal yishaver. In other words, we're making a diuk from the fact that we add the word bo. The medrash imnivla bo mikom makom yishaver. So the mashmos is, and even though this pasuk is written by kli cheres, we're using it to teach me the halacha by marika shtifa by kli nechoshes. It could have said asher tevushal. Why does it say bo? It means no matter how the chatas juice or meat got into it, it requires shvira. So we should just point out there's this massive Tosfos here, which we are not going to read, in large part because I probably wouldn't understand what Tosfos says, but he talks a lot about how this halacha of Iroy, of Marika Shtifa, by the klisheni into which the broth of the chatas is poured into, how or if this halacha relates to the halachas of Iroy Kli Rishon, Lagabe Bishol on Shabbos. From this Gemara, it happens to be mashma that if you pour from a boiling pot into a second pot, that's considered cooking. Why? Because the issue is that you need marika shtifa for any pot that the mechatos was cooked in, and this pot requires marika shtifa. This klisheni requires marika shtifa, which is mashma that it is considered bittel. But then he goes back and forth. No, maybe not, because what we just saw in the Gemara was that it could be from the word bo. You're requiring the marika shtifa and the klisheni, even if it's not considered a bishul, even if it only has a blia. So maybe it's an issue in the blias and not an issue with bishul. I have a very labedic discussion trying to connect this to the halachos by Hilcha Shabbos, not for now. So says the Gemara Vayter. So boy Rami Bar Chama. So says Rami Bar Chama, Tolo ba'avir tanur mahu. So let's say you cook the chatas on a spit, and you stick it into a tanur shel cheres. So the tanur shel cheres, the opening again was on top. So you stick it down directly. It's not touching the tanur. It's just roasting in the middle of the tanur. So what is the question? So what's the halacha now? Abishal ubiluahu dekapit rachmana. Does the Pasuk requires shvira only when the chatos meat is cooked in the tanner in a way that would permit blios to get into the walls of the tanner, meaning only when the meat is touching the tanner itself. Odilma, or maybe abishol belo bilua, or maybe the Torah is makbid even on a case of bishol below bilua. Maybe the Torah is makbid on a case if it's cooked, even if it's cooked in a way where there will never be blios. This reminds everybody of Rav Yosef Engel about the concept of siog daraisa. Really, it's a problem if there are blios, but over here we make a siog midaraisa to tell us that the kli requires shvira if it's cooked, even if it's in a way that it won't lead to blios. Still, you make a siog. Whenever something is cooked in a kli cheres, it requires shvira. So, is it only where there's a risk of blios or not? So it says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Tashma. Echad shebishel bo, it says whether it was cooked in it. The echad she'ir l'tocha rotach. So, or even if you just poured from the chatas broth into a klei sheni, it requires shvira, or it requires mariko shtifa. So don't we see that we require shvira / mariko shtifa even if there are only blios in the pot, even if it wasn't cooked in the pot? So if you're going to say that you require mariko shtifa or shvira when there are blios without bishul, so it follows that we should also require the same thing when there's bishul without blios. So says the Gemara, no, not at all. So blua blua bishul lo kami bailon. I know that if there are blios without bishul, then I require mariko shtifa or shvira. Why? Because as Rashi points out, the given avi nosar vatora idal klicheres eni yotzimi de dofnav liolam aboy shvira. Because again, what's the problem? The problem is of nosar. So if the problem is of nosar and there are blios that get into the pot, I have blios of nosar in the pot. That's a problem. So I got to break the pot. But if I'm cooking in a way which doesn't permit blios to get into the pot, maybe I don't require shvira, or maybe I don't require a mariko shtifa. Says the Gemara, ki kami bailon bishul belo bilua. That's my question. So my, what's the halacha? So says the Gemara like this, Tashma, the Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua. Tanur shel mikdash, the tanur in the base of mikdash was shel mateches haya. It was of mateches. It was made of mateches. Why was it made of mateches? Because what they do with the tanur in the mikdash, they used to cook all sorts of carbon meat. And if what you're telling me is that there's no way to cook the meat of the carbon in a tanur of cheres without requiring shvira, they would have to buy a new oven every day. So that obviously doesn't make sense. So they would make it with metal. And since they made it with metal, they could do mariko shtifa. So says the Gemara, so here's the punchline. V'isal kadai tach bishul b'lo bilua lo kapid nevet shel cheres. And if you want to say that bishul b'lo bilua is not a problem, so let them have a cheres, let them have a taner shel cheres in the mikdash and just roast it in a way where the meat's not touching the sides or the bottom of the taner, and therefore there are not going to be any blias. So obviously we see that even if you cook that way, it's going to be a problem. And that's why they needed the taner shel nechoshes in the mikdash and not shel mateches and not the taner shel cheres. Says the Gemara, no. Really, I could say that if I just suspend the chatos on a spit in the taner, it's not going to require shvira. I, Elamai, why did they not make the taner or the mikdash out of cheres? Why they make it out of mateches? Kivan the ikos shiori menachos taf yosem betaner v'ika bishul v'ilua avdina shel mateches. Why? Because one of the things that they used to bake in this tanur was the shiore mincha. The shiore mincha, you can't suspend. That was flour and oil mixed together. You can't suspend that on a spit in the middle of the tanur. Obviously, that you're putting in the tanur, and there are blios, and therefore, when some of the kachim are cooked in the tanur, it would require shvira. Okay, says the Gemara. Hahu tanura da'atchuba tayacha. There was a tanner that was greased with a coating of fleshic fat, with a coating of fat of an animal. Osra Rabba Bariloi. So Rabba Bariloi said it was osra lemechla lerifta liolam, to eat the bread that was cooked in that tanner forever. Vafilu b'milcha, even with something, even just with salt, with something parv. Why? Dilma osi lemichla bechkutcha, lest one come to eat it with kutach. Kutach was a mixture that used to be eaten in the times of the Gemara, which was made with whey or something that was milchik, that was chalavi. So the problem is, you have the bread that was cooked in the fleshik oven. It's a problem because you might come to eat the bread with something milchik, and that's going to be a very big problem. So says the Gemara. So the key is just to understand the question. It said, "As osra rabba bar Eloi lemechla lerifta liolam." All of the bread that was cooked in this tanner forever was not permitted to be eaten, lest one come to eat it with dairy. Meaning, basically, the tanner was useless. There was no way to get these blios of the fat out of the tanner, because it said if once it was coated with the grease, forget it. Any bread that's cooked in there forever, not allowed to eat it, lest you come to eat it with milchiks. So says the Gemara, Meisvei, Ein Lashon Ese'isa B'chalav, you're not allowed to knead dough with milk. Vimlash Kalapas Kula Surim Nehergalavera. And if you do knead it with milk, then all of the pas that is going to be cooked in it, that is going to be cooked with it, is going to become usur because of Hergalavera. What does Hergalavera mean? That you might come to eat the bread with fleshik. You might make yourself a deli sandwich. And if you have milchik bread and you're making a deli sandwich, that's obviously a very big problem. Kayotsebo, similarly, Ain tushin es a taner ba'alya. You're not allowed to grease a taner with a fatty tail of a sheep. The imtosh kalapas kula asura. And if you did it, then all of the bread cooked in it is going to be asur. Why? Lest you come to eat it with kutach, lest you come to eat it with dairy. But here's the punchline. Achayasik es a taner. Until they do a hasaka. So fire up the taner, and that will take away all these blios. And then after you fired up the taner to clean it out, to kosher it, then it's going to be fine. So says the Gemara, Tiyufta de Rabba Bar Eloi, Tiyufta. It's a kosher on Rabba Bar Eloi. Because Rabba Bar Eloi told us that if you grease the taner with the fat, then forever all the bread that's going to be cooked in it is going to be usur. Why? Just do a hasaka. Then the bread is going to be mutter. So obviously this is a question on the shita of Rabba Bar Eloi. So we'll stop here because here's a convenient stopping point. But just to mention that this sugya of milchik bread is a very complicated sugya, but a very important sugya la halacha, because we know that the Gemara in Pesachim tells us that if the bread is made ke'ein tura, then it's mutter to make milchik bread. Why? Because ke'ein tura is some way of distinguishing the bread. In other words, the whole problem that you're not allowed to make milchik bread is lest you come to eat a deli sandwich with it. But if you make a special mark, or if there's a special way to distinguish the bread, then you don't have to be afraid that somebody is going to go eat it with fleshiks. There's a fundamental machlokas rishonim between Rashi and the Rambam, what ke'ein tura means. Rashi says it means that the pas is very, very small size, like the eye of an ox, ke'ein tura. The Rambam says that it has nothing to do with the size of the bread, it has to do with the shape of the bread. But the point of both Rashi and the Rambam Shita is that there is a distinguishing feature to the bread that basically assures you that you're not going to come eat the bread with anything that's fleshik. So then the discussion gets interesting regarding English muffins, which are milchiks, or to the extent they still make English muffins, they were milchiks, and part of the reason that there was ashkacha given to the English muffins was, A, they were a very strange shape. Also, they're smaller than a standard size, than there's a standard size piece of bread. Rav Schechter also brought down, but Rabbi Leibowitz had a shita that it was mutter because any milk that would be there, that would be inside, would be batel b'shishim anyway. So it wasn't really milchiks. That gets involved in a much more complicated discussion of whether you're allowed to be mevatel isra lechatchila or not, beyond the scope of my comprehension, frankly, and beyond the scope of a daf yomi shir anyway, luckily. So we'll leave off over here, and we'll pick up, God willing, from this spot in the Gemara tomorrow.